Well, it's not often that I get to stay over for a second Sunday, but this is a blessing for me, and it's been great to be with you for this week. Let's open our Bibles once again to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. Luke 14, and our text this morning is verses 15 through 24. I heard a story one time about two farmers, and the one farmer needed a rope. And so he went over to his neighbor farmer and he said, "Can I use your rope?" And his friend said, "No, you can't use your rope, my rope." And he said, "Well, why can't I use your rope?" And he said, "Well, I'm using my rope to tie up my milk." And I thought, what? Using your rope to tie up your milk? So he said to his friend, "You don't use a rope to tie up milk." And his friend responded, "Well, I just figured that when a man really doesn't want to do something, one lame excuse is as good as another." Excuses. Have you ever made an excuse? Have you ever made an excuse about spiritual things? About anything that has to do with a relationship with God? Maybe it sounded something like this. "Well, I don't have the time." "Well, there's a lot of hypocrites in the church." "Well, I'm busy right now." "Well, no, I don't think I'm ready yet." "Well, today I'm going to the lake," or "I'm going to the ball game." "Well, you know what, for this God thing, I just turn on the TV and I get my religion there." "Well, I'm not as bad as that man, and he says he's a Christian." "Oh, I've heard all this stuff before." "Well, that's good for you, but I just don't think that's for me." "Well, he needs it more than I do." "Well, I'm young. I've got a lot of time." That's not an exhaustive list, but those are all excuses that I've actually heard before. But excuses, when it comes to spiritual things, are nothing new. The Lord Jesus Christ even dealt with people that gave excuses about spiritual things, especially things that have to do with their relationship with Him. In fact, He even gives a parable here that talks about people that give excuses. And I want us to see this morning that no excuse that we ever give related to spiritual things ever stands, is ever a worthy excuse. In fact, like the farmer, when a man doesn't really want to do something, every excuse is a lame excuse. So let's look this morning, first of all, and see that in verse 16 and 17, a certain man, and in the parable that is speaking of God, making the translation, he made a great supper. And he bade, or the word is invited, he extended an invitation to many people. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them, literally, that were bidden, having already been invited, here's the invitation. Come, for all things are now ready. You have to understand the timeline that is taking place here. Many months before, if you will, the master who was preparing the feast sent his servants to extend an invitation to many people to come. And when he sent his servant, they all marked it on their calendar and said, okay, I'll come. The master has been spending all this time getting ready for the feast because these people said, I will come. And now that the feast is ready, he sends his servant back to them saying, it's ready. All you need to do is show up. You see, all of the preparation was made by the man. There was absolutely nothing required of the guest except that they show up. That was it. They didn't have to pay for the meal. They didn't have to set up chairs. They didn't have to decorate the room. They didn't have to wash the dishes. All they had to do was show up at the feast, and everything, absolutely everything, was prepared by the master. You know the beautiful picture here? This great man, represented by God, did everything that was needed to be done in order to bring men into a relationship with him. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, from heaven. He gave him a human body through the Virgin Mary. He lived a righteous life, never broke any of God's commandments. He died on the cross of Calvary and paid the penalty for the sins of mankind. He rose again from the dead. Folks, God did everything through His Son, Jesus Christ, to bring men into a relationship. And He even sent Him to people in the flesh so they could see Him and touch Him and listen to Him and have His Word. And that's the picture. God made a spiritual feast through His Son, Jesus Christ. And you know the wonderful thing? You don't have to do anything. You don't have to pay money to the church for it. You don't have to get dunked in some waters for it. You don't have to take church sacraments for it. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to even work for it in any way. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Savior of the world. And this is all He asks when He extends to men that invitation. Just come. Just be willing. In fact, Revelation 22:17 says, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The only thing that God requires is that a man simply be willing to come. He's done everything to provide for your salvation. Are you willing to come? The invitation was extended. The excuses were offered. Look at them. There are three. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first one said unto him, "Oh, I bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused." Another said, "Oh, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to prove them. I pray thee have me excused." And another said, "Oh, yes, that's right. In between your first invitation in which I wasn't married and now your invitation that you say you're ready for the feast, I married a wife and therefore I cannot come." They all began to make an excuse. And I want you to understand here that it looks like in the text that when it says that they began to make excuse, or "I pray thee have me excuse," they're asking for permission. Wrong. They're actually telling the master what they're going to do. In fact, the first guy, you know, let's look at his excuse. "Well, I bought this piece of ground." Perhaps he's in real estate and he says, "You know, it's I haven't seen it yet. And I just want to let you know," when he says, "I must needs go and see it," he is really saying this: there's something right now that is more important than coming to your feast. I know you gave me an invitation, and at that time, this piece of ground wasn't in the picture. But in between now and that first invitation, something really important came up. And so the thing that is most necessary is for me to kind of forget about your feast. I got to go see this piece of ground." What? A piece of ground that is more important than your relationship with the master? It's not going to stand. Let's look at the second excuse. "Well, I bought some oxen. I pray thee have me excused. I'm going to prove them." We might say today, it's like buying a car sight unseen before you test drive it. "Well, I know, but you see, these oxen weren't in the picture when you first gave me the invitation." And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, feast, sure, I'll go. But now I've got these 5 oxen and I just can't come to the feast. In fact, I'm just letting you know, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to test out these oxen." What? Test driving your oxen is more important than a relationship with the master? I don't get it. Let's look at the third excuse. This perhaps sounds like the most legitimate, right? "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot," or "I am not able to come." In other words, he got the first invitation and his indication was, "Oh, yes, a feast with the master. That's the most important thing in the world. Yes, I'm going to come." And in between now and then, a very special person comes into his life. And now it's, "Well, a relationship with the master, that's not so important right now. I have a wife now, and that's the most important thing. I'm sorry, I have to decline the invitation." What? another earthly relationship is going to keep you from considering the most important eternal relationship in all the world? And so, because you met a special person, you're just going to pass off on the master? Well, I just can't come. You know, if you look at their excuses, there are several things that we see here. First of all, they were given time to prepare. They had the time, you know, the passage might make it look like that they didn't have time to think about it, but initially they all said, oh yes, man, the most important thing in the world would be, if I can put it this way, a relationship with God. I mean, there can't be any piece of property that could compete with a relationship with God. There can't be any yoke of oxen that are important enough in the world to keep me from a relationship with God. There can't be any relationship with a woman, even the most beautiful woman in the world, that could be more important than a relationship with God. But in between that time and this time, here's the ground. And oh, is it a nice piece of property. Here's the oxen, and oh, it's just exactly what I've needed. Here's the woman, and oh, she's the most beautiful person in the world. And in between that first invitation in which they said, oh yes, I'm coming because I will not risk my relationship with the master. In between then and now, something comes up that distracts them. They had time to prepare, but now secondly, they have become preoccupied with other things. Things that are less important. Things that are not eternal. How many people who have ever died have been able to take a piece of property with them? Anyone? Does anyone know of anyone? When you die, your real estate stays here. Your house stays right where it's at. In fact, if you die today, everything that you own on this earth, tell me if I'm not right, is going to stay right where it's at. And it's going to go to somebody else, right? Right. So what's the excuse? Is it valid? Your car is going to stay right where it's at. Even if you're married, your spouse will be here and you will be in eternity. The fact is, folks, all of these excuses, they kind of implicate, no, I didn't have time for this. You had all the time in the world. You have just become preoccupied with other things, things that are of lesser value, things that don't have eternal value and are not of great importance. And now you're just giving an excuse because the bottom line is, they just weren't willing. They weren't willing to see it God's way. They weren't willing to accept the invitation. In fact, it says in verse 18, they all with one consent began to make excuse. It's kind of like what Pastor Unruh was saying when he asked a question to the Chinese pastors, they all began to speak at the same time. That's exactly what happened here. As the servant went to say, okay, remember the invitation you accepted? You said you'd come? Everything's ready. All you have to do is show up. Oh, but... And right at that moment, all of them said, I have a piece of property, got to go see it. I have 5 yokes of oxen, I got to go prove them, and I've gotten married. They all begin to speak at the same time and to give their consent that, well, right now, there's something that's more important. And it's lame. God will not accept it. How many times men become preoccupied with the world and with temporal things and it's personal possessions, things of value to them, things that they think are so important, even relationships. But I want to remind you this morning, everything on this earth that could come between you and God, I don't care if it is a thing, I don't care if it is a person, they all pale in comparison to the things of eternal value. Do they not? What is there today that you could offer to God that would be a good excuse for this? Well, right now, I just don't have the time to think about these things. Tell me. What is there today that you could offer to God that would be an excuse great enough for Him to say, well, yeah, I can see that. You know what? You're right. That is more important than me. What? What should it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? They all offer excuses, but none of them have any weight. Someone has said, life is your opportunity to prepare for eternity. They just weren't willing to come. In fact, in Acts 24:25, when Paul was speaking with a man, he said, oh, when I have a convenient season, in other words, when the time is right, I'll call for you. And that's when I'll be willing. Not even time. I know of young people that live their life like, oh, I've got time. Yeah, you know what? After I get out of college, I'll think about God. Oh, yeah, when I get married, then I'll start getting serious about spiritual things. Oh, yeah, after I kind of get into my career and kind of get my life settled down, then I'll, yeah, when I retire and I've kind of enjoyed a few years and I'm getting close to the end, then I'll. Folks, one excuse will always lead to another. And that's what we find here. The invitation was given, just come. The excuses were offered and every one of them was lame, did not hold water. But I want you to see in the end here, God filled His house and He filled it with a particular type of people. Here they are. Verse 21. So the servant came and showed his Lord these things. And the master of the house was angry. He was angry at all of these lame excuses for not considering the importance of a relationship with him. So here's what he said. All right, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And so the Lord said unto his servant now a second time, all right, go into the highways and into the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now, actually, to be technical with the passage, it really is a scathing denunciation of the Jews. Jesus Christ came in the flesh. He appeared before the Jewish nation. He was right there. They could see Him. They could touch Him. They could hear Him. He worked miracles before their eyes. And God said, I will do everything for you to have a relationship with Me. I will even send My Son to die for your sin and to pay the penalty. And they began to give excuses. Like, well, show us a sign. Well, we're not sure we can accept this as the truth. Well, what about the law of Moses? And they had their excuses. And so the Lord said, you know what? You know what the bottom line is? You're just not willing. It's a heart issue. May I remind you this morning that any time anyone makes an excuse about spiritual things, things that have to do with a relationship with God, it is a heart issue. And if they're not willing, you know where the Lord changes His focus to? Here we go. People who are willing. And it doesn't matter who they are. In fact, he says, I don't care if they're halt or maimed or blind or poor. These were the classes of people that were kind of social misfits and looked down upon. And the Jews were real proud in their religion. And they thought their excuses for not having a relationship with God would really hold water. But they were lame. And so the Lord says, all right, you know these people who don't have a lot? And you know these people that people look down their noses at and don't much care for? If they're willing to come, go tell them to come. And so he goes out and sends his servants into the streets and lanes of the city and says, just bring them in. And he says, yet there is room. And in verse 23, he even says, go to the highways and the hedges. That would be the strangers that are just passing through the city and they're looking for a place to stay. And so they take cover in the shelter that's just off to the side of the road. I mean, even if they're just passing through, go tell them there's a feast. It's free. All you have to do is come. I can imagine the picture. The next day, one of those who was bidden but didn't come says, sees that servant who talked to him, and he says, hey, what about the big feast last night? I know a lot of my friends didn't go because they had other pressing and very important things. And how was the attendance? Oh, standing room only. Really? Oh, I know some very important people that were invited. I mean, this guy owns property and that guy, he bought some oxen and this guy got married and those are pretty upstanding people. And I know a lot of people like that that had, you know, in between the first invitation when they said the relationship with the Master was important, they got preoccupied with other things. And I just, standing room only? Oh, yeah. Totally full. Every seat was taken. Really? Well, who came? Well, I mean, who would the Master have at His feast beside us? Really important people that have really important things to do. I mean, we have money. We buy pieces of ground. We buy oxen. We marry important people. I mean, who could He have had other than us? You should have seen the crowd. There were poor people there. I saw people there who were blind.
I saw people there who were lame and couldn't even walk. In fact, they had to actually be brought to the feast on stretchers and in wheelchairs and things like that. I mean, there were even people who were just passing through last night. In fact, I went over into the hedges and a man needed a place to stay but didn't have it. And he was looking for a meal. And I said, "Sir, do you want to come to a feast? It's absolutely free. All you have to do is show up." And he was a total stranger. He was just passing through. And he said, "Sure, I'll come. I'm willing. I don't have any money." Oh, you don't have to have any. Just come. I'll set up chairs. I'll clean up afterwards. I'll do the dishes if the meal is ready." "No, sir, you don't have to do anything. The master has done everything. He just wants to have a relationship with you." "Okay, I'll come." And the house was filled. It was filled with people who were simply willing to come. And that's the point. God has done everything there is to do to have a relationship with you. And it's that important to Him. There's nothing man can do. But there's also no excuse that man can offer to God that will take the place of a relationship with Him. You must be willing to come. I remember years ago preaching in northern Indiana, the Crown Point area, and it was a youth meeting, and there were several rows of teenagers, and I had given the gospel and just laid it out plainly before the young people, and all they had to do, like in this case, was just to be willing to say, "Sure, I'll accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'll give my life to Him." So it came to the invitation, and the teens understood. Number of unsaved teens there, and there was one young lady, and she was she was right in the first row, and I mean the entire time she just sat like that, and she listened, and you could just tell her mind, the wheels were churning and spinning, and she was taking it all in. And I said, "If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you understand that God is just inviting you today to come to Him and receive Him. You can't work for it. You can't do anything. It's not joining the church or living a good life or anything. All you have to do is believe in His Son Jesus Christ and be saved. If you understand that and you know that's what you need to do, would you raise your hand?" And I remember that young lady right in the front center. Our heads were bowed, our eyes were closed, and she went whoop and just raised it right up. I thought, wonderful. So I had an invitation prayer, and I had the young people stand to their feet. And whenever they stood up, she looked right at me. And I wanted them to bow their heads and close their eyes so they wouldn't be looking around at who responded or did this or that. I wanted them to understand it was an individual decision. And so I said, "We'll just keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed." And she looked right at me. So I thought at first that maybe she didn't hear me again. And I said, "We'll just have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And if you raised your hand, I want to give you an opportunity to respond." And she looked right at me, just this stare. Well, I didn't want to make her feel uncomfortable, so I tried to shift my eyes from side to side. And couple of other young people responded, and boy, I could just tell that there was this real struggle that was going on in this young lady about simply this. Am I willing? In my heart, am I going to say, yes, Lord, I'll come. Finally, I decided to fight fire with fire. And so I turned my gaze right at that young lady and I looked at her right in the eyes. I didn't say anything. I simply went. As if to say, what about you? What are you going to do? And I will never forget, she looked at me and went. Shall we pray?